You should have lesson two. We're going to finish it. I promise you we will finish it and get into lesson three, which is going to be dealing with getting more details of rewards. We've been doing a study in the last 3 to 4 weeks. Even though we've got the lessons, we don't get all the way through the lessons every time, but we've got these lessons, and we're doing on rewards. And rewards are powerful. Because rewards are different than salvation. Salvation is a gift, costs us nothing. We get eternal life by faith, but rewards come by our service. And that's what we've been talking about. We're going to finish lesson two. I'm going to give you a little kind of a brief running story to it, and then we'll get into it. Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll get into rewards. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great, great morning. Thank you for this class. Thank you for each one that's in it, Lord. I just love having this time together. Thank you that we can come together and we can study the Word of God. Lord, we ask you that when we think about rewards, think about the time that we will stand before our Savior Jesus Christ, that, Lord, we will hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, that's our goal and dream. We want to take the gifts, talents, and abilities that you've given us. We want to take the life, the time, the possessions, all of the things that you've given us and use them for your glory. We want our lives to count for you. We want to live in such a way that we'll hear you say, "Well done." Lord, we ask that you would teach us right now. Help us as we put all this together. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can turn, if you want to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look just at really one verse there, verse 10, which is a famous verse. Let me just kind of give you a running start. We've been looking at the whole idea of rewards, and we talked about the fact that sometimes people are confused on rewards. They don't understand what it is. You realize that when you serve Jesus Christ using the gifts, talents, and abilities that you've given, that He's been given to you, that you do this in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Scripture, God's going to reward you, and we're going to talk about more details on that. We then looked at all different kind of things about the contrast between salvation and discipleship. We even looked in this chapter about the place of rewards and the basis of rewards. The place of rewards is called the judgment seat of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. He says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for the deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Literally, the word is worthless. And we've seen this already. In fact, if you're on the next to the last page of lesson two, that'd be where you want to be. But we talked about that, and in this chapter, this little verse showed us three things. First of all, that we must all stand. Every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, you will stand before Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with your eternal life salvation. It has nothing to do with your sin. It has to do with your service. So he says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The word judgment means rewarding stand. That's what the word bema means. So that each one may be recompensed. Number two, that we will be rewarded. The purpose of standing before Christ is to be rewarded. You will stand before Jesus Christ, and the goal there is He's going to reward you. Now, that's an incredible thing. He's going to reward you based on giving you gifts, talents, and abilities, based on giving you His power, based on giving you His word, putting you in circumstances and situations, and then you serve Him, and He rewards you. It's powerful. And then the third thing, the basis for the rewards is based on our works. Notice what it says, for the deeds done in the body according to what He's done, whether good or bad. The word bad means worthless. It's the word for rotten fruit. When you do something in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is going to be rewards. When you do something that's not in the power of the Holy Spirit, or when you do something with the impure motive, it's going to be burned up. So we looked last week, and this is basically where we ended. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want you to see this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to look very, very quickly at what we saw last week. There's going to come a day, he's using an analogy here, of your works are going to be tested by fire. Now, let me be honest with you. When you stand there, is there going to be a time that your works are put out there and fire is on them? I don't know. His analogy is this, that as you live for Jesus Christ, you're either going to do things that are like gold, silver, and precious stone, or you do things which are wood, hay, and straw. He's saying that if you do things, gold, silver, precious stone, which is done in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be rewarded. If it's wood, hay, or straw, it's going to be burned up, and you won't be rewarded. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 11. No man can lay a foundation other than the one which is Jesus Christ. So he says the bottom line foundation is you come to Christ. That's the start of everything. Then you build on that foundation. Verse 12. If any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, he gives you some analogies. Each man's work will become evident. It will be clearly seen. For the day will show it. it the day when you stand before Christ, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Now, I used the analogy last week just real quickly. I'm going to help this little person across, this, let's say a little older lady, and I'm going to help her across the street, and I say, let me help you across the street, and as I'm helping her across the street, I'm doing a good deed. I'm doing something that's good. People look at that and say, isn't that a nice man? He's helping that lady across the street. Inside, I'm saying, everybody's looking at me. They're going to know I'm a nice guy. I'm glad I'm doing this because I want people to think I'm a nice guy. That's probably wood, hay, straw. Going to be gone. But if you help somebody across the street and you're not thinking that everybody, I want people to see me and think I'm good, that's gold, silver, precious stone. The bottom line is there are going to be things done that you will be rewarded for. There'll be things done that you won't be rewarded for. And it goes back to the attitude and the means by which you do it. So he says, if it's gold, silver, precious stone, and notice what he says, the test is going to be tested. Verse 14, if any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. This morning when we get into lesson 3, which we're going to get into in just a few minutes, we're going to actually see some of the different names of these rewards, whether they're called crowns or treasure, our places of rulership. We'll see those in just a minute. If any man's work which he remains, has built with remains, he'll receive a reward. Now look at the next one. If any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss. Loss of what? Loss of what? Rewards, not loss of salvation. But he himself will be what? Saved, yet as through fire. So what I wanted you to see, and this is last time we just ended with this, we realized that one day, every one of us in this room, individually, you will stand before Jesus Christ for him to reward you for what you've done, whether it's good or worthless. And his analogy in 1 Corinthians 3 is you're building things. You're building gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw. God's going to test it that day. It'll be tested by fire. Whatever's left, you get rewards. If it's not left, you get no reward. That's what he's saying. Now, all of us are sitting in this room and say, well, I don't guess I'll ever get anything. Because we know how that we're fallen people. But Psalm 103 says, God knows our frame. He knows we're but dust. Let me tell you something which we'll see in lesson 3. But this is for sure. Anything you do in the power of the Holy Spirit, anything you do, whether it's, and somebody has these ideas that it's, you have to do something at church, or it has to be a Bible study, it has to be something spiritual. No, it does not. When you use the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you to touch lives, for Jesus Christ, whether it's something what somebody would call spiritual or not, you will be rewarded as you do your jobs, as you do your schoolwork, as you treat your neighbors, as you are a good person, as you go through life, as you do things in the power of the Holy Spirit representing your Savior in everything, you will be rewarded. Let me tell you, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about the fact that one day we'll stand there before him. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says this, when we stand before him, everything will be brought to light. And then listen to this, listen carefully. And then each person's praise will come to him from God. You're going to be praised by God for the things that you have done. He's going to say, well done. So if you say right now, Lord, I just want my life to count for you, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, as I go through life, I want to live by the Bible. I want to be in, you know, I want to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want my life to count for you. I want to love people. I want to live by the Scripture. I just want to do what's right. I guarantee you, you will be rewarded. You will receive praise from God. There will be gold, silver, and precious stone, and when the fire touches it or whatever, it's going to be right there, and you'll be rewarded. Now, the key in there is faithfulness. I've got some verses. Where are we on this? Okay, the key is faithfulness. 2 John verse 8, 1 John 2:28. Let me, without turning there, 2 John 8 says, watch and be faithful. 1 John 2:28 says, you could be ashamed at his coming. You realize that if we don't serve him, if we're not living for him, if we don't, we would be ashamed when we stand before Jesus. It has nothing to do with eternal life. It has to do with rewards. There's some more verses. What's the next verse? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, moreover, brethren, is required of stewards to be found what? Trustworthy or faithful. The bottom line is how you live now is based on faithfulness. If you are faithful to do whatever God has for you to do, you will be rewarded. Luke 19:17. Let me read this to you. You don't have to turn there. I just want you to see this. Luke 19:17 is the famous statement that he makes that we've heard a lot of times. He said to him, "Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing. You're to be an authority over 10 cities. Faithfulness is the key. And that final verse is the one I just read a while ago, 1 Corinthians 4:5, that says each one will receive praise from God. Now, the bottom line is this. It's not how long you serve God. It's not the places He puts you. It's not the spiritual gifts that you have that are going to determine your rewards. It all goes back to your faithfulness, because we've all got different gifts, time, abilities, places. Some people are going to live longer than others. Some people are going to be put in different positions than others. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is, wherever He has you with the gifts, talents, and abilities He's given to you, your goal is to be faithful, to serve Him. And you'll hear Him say, "Well done, good and what? Faithful." That's the bottom line. And so instead of worrying about what do I need to do, just say, wherever you are, use the gifts, talents, and abilities that God's given you and touch lives for Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to get into rewards. Let me finish this. Those are all those verses. I just put them down there. 2 John 8, just in case you didn't get anything written down, is just be faithful. 1 John 2:28 says we could be ashamed. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says to be faithful. Luke 19:17 says, well, you know, because you were faithful in many things. And 1 Corinthians 4:5 says you'll receive praise from God. Those verses all just tell us that He's going to reward us, and the key is faithfulness. On the last page, I have some applications for you. There are two of them. I just want to give them to you. There we go. Whoops. First one is, understand the place of rewards. Understand how this fits, because there's difference, two things. Understand the difference between the judgments, the great white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you weren't here for some other lessons, you may not know what GWTJ and JSOC. Well, the first one there is the great white throne judgment. The difference is this. Great white throne judgment is found in Revelation chapter 20. It is when unbelievers stand before God. Their names are not found written in the book of life. They're cast in the lake of fire. When believers stand before God, it's at the judgment seat of Christ. We just saw that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. That's a rewarding stand. So understand the difference. There's a great white throne judgment, which is for unbelievers, and they're not found in the book of life, and they're cast in the lake of fire. The other one is the rewards for believers. Go ahead and you can put the second one up. At the judgment seat of Christ, the issue is not sin, but rewards. I want to bring that out again, because I've heard people say, I think one day you'll stand before Jesus and everything that you've ever done will be flashed on some screen somewhere. You know, every bad thought, everything you've ever done, and we're going to be so embarrassed. Well, when you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not dealing with sin. Where are your sins? They're on Jesus Christ. He's not bringing up your sins, because Jesus has already placed your sins as far as the what? East is from the west. It's already gone. So you don't stand before Jesus for your sin, because He's already dealt with your sin. You stand before Him for rewards and works that way. Second application is understand the basis for rewards. Every believer will stand. God will reward based on faithful service. I think there's a couple more. Time is not the issue. Faithful service is really the issue. And then last but not least, it's supposed to be a D instead of a B, but our goal is praise from God. We want to hear Him say, "Well done." So far in the first two lessons, we've talked about the distinctions. We've talked about the place of rewards. We've talked about the basis for rewards. Let's go to lesson 3, if you have it there. And we're going to get a little background and we're going to talk about some things. But in lesson 3, we're going to actually start talking about the rewards. And lesson 3 is a little bit shorter lesson. It may take us, just because of time, we're halfway through already. So we'll get some of this lesson today, and we'll probably finish it next time, and then get into lesson 4, in which we will actually be going through the different rewards that you can find in the Scripture and how they fit together. So go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is where we'll start as we're going through this. I may talk about some of the verses, but this is where we'll start. It's famous. We have seen, in fact, I've got an overhead, I think. We have seen several things as we've gone through our study. What do we have a slide for this one? Yeah, we've seen, as we've gone through our study so far, the distinction between salvation and rewards. Do not lose that distinction. There are some people who do not make that distinction. They actually think that salvation is a reward, and so they say you have to live a good life in order to be saved. They're really confused. Salvation is a gift. Rewards are earned. We've also seen number 2, which is Paul's charge to get the rewards, run the race to get the prize. Number three, we have seen the place and basis of rewards. The place, of course, is the judgment seat of Christ. And then the basis, I think we've got that one next, is faithfulness. That's the key. We're going to continue, and as we think on, let's go to the next one. We're going to talk, is there not a four and a five? Well, it's, okay, there's supposed to be a four and a five that says the basis for rewards and the different rewards. Okay, well, he put it that way. Okay, I didn't see that one. Okay, the basis for our rewards and then the difference of rewards. That's the two things we're going to see as we go through. So I think there's a lot of things we'll see as we go through this. Now, let me start with this. There's a misconception, and we've talked about it before, but some are new, you know, come from the summer, and I just want to think about this. There's this idea that when we get to heaven, everybody's going to be pretty much equal, because the goal is to make it to heaven. That's what everybody says. I just want to make it to heaven. I want to, you know, get to heaven and be with Jesus. And since everybody who believes in Jesus says, well, you'll have eternal life and you'll be in heaven with Jesus, so then there's this conception that everybody gets to heaven and we're all equal and all of that. Well, we've been looking at the subject of rewards, and we find out that this is not the truth. We're going to all be with Jesus Christ forever. This is called eternal life, but we're not all equal. And there are some who have rewards and some who do not have rewards, and these rewards will deal with our places of service for all eternity. And so if you've got your hand out there, if you notice, it says rewards. Those who serve, he's going to say, well done, and he's going to get rewards. Those who do not serve, they'll be ashamed, and there'll be no rewards. And that's a key that we don't always think about. So one of these days, when you stand before your Savior, it's going to be that way. And hopefully, for all of us who seek to live for Christ and who day after day say, I just want my life to count for you, I want to use the gift talent, he's going to reward you. The little review there, and I think we've got those on the handout as well. And this is the reason we're doing this is because if we just start, if we got it up there, the next thing, what's next after that? Well, I guess that slide's not on there. Look at your review that we talked about, the distinction between salvation rewards. We talked about Paul's charge to get rewards, and we talked about the basis of rewards. So let's turn the page and go to what are the rewards, okay? There are several key words, and I have them for you there. There are several key words that you'll find in the Scripture that deal with rewards. Here's the first one, and the first one is the word crowns. You've heard people say, one day you're going to get crowns. When you stand before Jesus, you'll put crowns. In fact, you hear people say, well, you're going to get your crowns, and then according to someplace in Revelation, you're going to stand before Jesus, you're going to take your crown off, and you're going to lay it at his feet. We've heard that. So here's the thing, the idea of crowns. We've heard that people get crowns. There are two key words for crowns. The one is the word diadem. It's a Greek word, diadem, which means the crown that a king wore. The other one is the word stephanos, which is the word for reward. There's a place in the Bible where it says when Jesus comes, he comes with many crowns on his head as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The word for crown there is diadem. It's the word for a king's crown. When Paul said, run the race so that you get the prize and that you get a crown, the word is stephanos. So when we talk about crowns that we're going to get as believers, the Greek word is the idea of a reward. So that's what a crown is, a reward. There's a second key word that you find, and it's the word treasure. And I ask you to go ahead and be in Matthew 6, look at 19 and 20. That's a famous passage. It's in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is teaching. And look what he says. He says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. And then he says, where your treasure is, your heart is. Now, two things I want you to see. Number two on your sheet should be the word treasure. And he says, lay up treasure in heaven. So there's a second concept, and it's the word treasure. The first verse is 6:19. Look what it says. It says, do not lay up for yourself treasures where? Not on where? Earth. Why? Why don't you lay up treasure on earth? Because what? It's temporary, isn't it? How many things last? If you get a new computer, how long does it last? If you get a new car, how long does it last? If you get new clothes, how long do they last? If you get anything, how long do they last? Not very long. And they just tear up. If you fool around with something long enough, it'll break. Right? It's just true. And so things don't last. He says, don't strive to get earthly treasure. We talked about it in the pulpit on Sunday morning in the first service about Solomon and all his wealth. And we said, you know, Solomon at the end of his life in Ecclesiastes said, all that stuff is vanity. It doesn't last. It tears up or somebody else takes it. In fact, what does he say? Don't lay up treasure on earth, because what happens to it? Moth and rust destroy it. It just wears out. And somebody breaks in and takes it. There's a place in Ecclesiastes which is really wise, and it talks about that the rich man does not sleep very well because he's afraid people are going to get his stuff. It's true. People with a lot of wealth, they got guards, they got fences, they got all this stuff, because they got to guard their stuff. And so he's saying that, look, don't spend your effort to get a lot of stuff, because it won't last anyway. It's temporary. I mentioned this in church, and so if you haven't been here and you'll be in the second service, I'm going to make this statement again in the second service. But I had a college senior come see me two to three, four years ago, and I was asking, what are you going to do? You're about to graduate. You got two more months, three more months. It was in the spring. He said, I'm going to graduate. I said, what's your goal? What do you really want to do? He said, here's my goal in life, is to be rich. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah. I want to be rich. And I said to him, you will have a very sad life. You'll have a very sad life. Don't lay up treasures on the earth, because they don't last. But look what verse 20 says. But store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Why? Because they what? They last. Let me tell you, anything you do which we call a treasure that God's going to give you is an eternal treasure. Any reward that he gives you, any treasure, anything that he gives you will go on for all eternity. There are things here that people just break their necks to get and then last 2 years. Talked to a person the other day and they were saying, I've got to do anything to get this car I want, this special car I want. I just got to have this car. Well, you know what happens? What happens when you get a brand new car? And you love it for what? A while. And I mean, cars are great. They are. But they wear out. And then you got to get another one.
Somebody cracks your door at Walmart.
Yeah. Boom. And you go, oh my gracious. I just got this car and there's a dent. It's all temporary. Nothing wrong with a new car. Get anything you want. Just don't put your heart in those things. Put your heart in serving the Lord. So the second key word is the word for treasure. So we've seen the word crown. We've seen the word treasure. I want to give you the third word. We'll just get into it today, and we'll get a lot more details on it next time. The third word, the thing is key, is ruling with Christ. Now, this sort of sets it to be a little bit more unique. See, when you start saying about rewards for heaven, everybody goes like this. What are we talking about? What are we going to get? What's a crown anyway? And what's a treasure? And it will be like a box of gold? Or is it going to be some crown I wear around? Or what's it going to be? Well, when we look at the third key usage of rewards, the words are ruling with Christ. Ruling with Christ. Now, do you understand that an aspect of rewards is going to be a place of responsibility that you rule with Jesus Christ on this earth? Now, we don't have much time, but I want to explain something to you. You realize one of these days, Jesus is going to come get us in the clouds. We'll be taken off the face of the earth, and we'll be with him. Then on the earth, there'll be that thing called the tribulation. It'll be a 7-year time period. Antichrist is going to come. At the end of that tribulation, Jesus Christ comes to the earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who comes with him? We do. All of us who have served Jesus Christ and are going to get rewards, crowns, treasures, will also rule with Christ. And when he comes as the king, he comes to Jerusalem. He sets up a throne. He's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he rules over this earth. And guess what you will be allowed to do if you've been a faithful servant of Jesus Christ? You will rule with him. You're going to have a place of responsibility that you will oversee. I don't understand how it all fits together. All I know is what it talks about ruling with him. In fact, look at Revelation chapter 3. Turn back there. That's a verse that I have for you. Go all the way back to Revelation chapter 3, and this will probably be the last that we get to talk about. I'll open it up for questions in just a second. Revelation chapter 3, I want you to see what he says. It's pretty powerful. Revelation 3:21, he who overcomes, he's writing to the churches, by the way. He's already writing to these believers. To overcome here does not mean to be saved. To overcome means to be a faithful servant. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne. And as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne, he's saying, I'm letting you sit down with me, sit with me on my throne. What does that imply? That you're going to be what? Ruling. You understand that the aspect of rewards is not going to get some little prize that you'll hold in your hand and say, I'll go over here and stand by the side. You're going to have a position of responsibility. Now, we're going to see it in Luke 19. Do you remember the story? Let me just remind you, we got about a minute. You remember the story where there's a king and he calls some of his servants together and he says, I'm going to give you some stuff. I'm leaving. I'm coming back. I'm going to give you 10. I'm giving you 10. I'm giving you 10. I'm giving you 10. And he gives them 10. He says, when I come back, there'll be an accounting. It's a picture of God giving you gifts, talents, and abilities to serve him. When he gets back after time, the first guy comes up. He says, your 10 made 10 more. And he went, well done, you have been faithful. Now rule over these 10 cities. He puts him in a place of leadership and responsibility. The other guy came up and said, I made 5. He said, great job. Rule over 5 cities. One guy came up and he said, I didn't do anything. You're not ruling over anything, is what he says. You understand your faithful service for Jesus Christ in the kingdom, you will have places of responsibility as you rule with Christ. Now, we're going to get a lot more details of this because if you notice, we've got Luke 19, and then we're going to get to Romans 8, and there's a famous verse there, Romans, where it says, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to see a couple of other places. So don't forget, we'll be there next week, and we'll come back. Let me stop. I know that was the bell. Any questions? Any questions or comments? Yes, Freddie. We got just a second. They can't start without us. Okay.
What about those that will not get any crowns and rewards? What do you think they'll be doing for eternity? I mean,
they'll be under your rulership, Freddie. Hey, could you sweep that up over there? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now, you'll be ruling, and they won't be ruling. They'll be under the rulers. They'll be leaders in every world. It's going to be a world. You understand that the kingdom is a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. And the eternal kingdom is a new heaven and a new earth and an eternal reigning with Jesus Christ on a new heavens and a new earth. And you will serve him forever. So as you serve him now, he will reward you with places of responsibility and service for all eternity. If you think it doesn't matter how you live now, you are really wrong. Has no bearing on your eternal life, but it sure has a bearing on your eternal service. So you want to be in a place of responsibility. You want to be in partnership with Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about a Greek word called metakoi. We'll see it next week. It's found in the book of Hebrews. We're going to talk about that. You want to be a partner with Christ? You better serve him now. You better use your gifts, talents, and abilities so he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. Take this right here. Does that help, Freddie? Okay, we better stop. And save your questions. We'll get it all next time. Heavenly Father, what a great passage. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that one day that you'll give us crowns. You'll give us places of responsibility. You'll give us treasure in heaven, which is eternal. You will let us rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we will hear you say, well done, we have been faithful, and you will give us places of responsibility to serve you, not only in the kingdom, but in the eternal kingdom for all eternity. Eternity. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. Help us to understand them and live them out. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.